Have you ever wondered how we can create deeper, more meaningful connections with our children? What if the key to parenting lies not just in guiding our kids at any age, but in first nurturing and healing ourselves? In today's episode, we're diving into the heart of conscious parenting, where personal growth, spirituality, and Montessori principles come together to transform the way we parent and live. Join me in welcoming a truly special guest, Smriti Gopal, a Montessori educator and conscious parenting coach who brings profound wisdom and soul-centered practices to the art of parenting. With a deep commitment to personal growth and spirituality, she is a guiding light for those seeking to parent with intention, compassion, and a focus on the well-being of both child and parent. In this conversation, she'll share how parenting ourselves first creates the foundation for authentic and connected relationships with our children. Whether you're a parent or on a journey of self-growth, this episode will inspire you to nurture the most important relationship of all, the one with yourself. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. So welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and I am over the moon to be talking to Smriti Gopal today. She is with me from India, and we're across the oceans, the continents, the lands. Welcome, Smriti. I'm so happy to be with you.
Thank you, Maureen. I am so excited to be here, to be, first of all, seeing you after so many years and having this wonderful conversation.
You and I just dove right in before recording. When you meet someone in the heart space, I think it's where shared intention might live. You just drop from that head to the heart so quickly. And it's a practice. I believe that we can get to that space through practice. But do you feel that too?
Yes, I do feel it. And I definitely agree with you that practice can do it. You know, commitment, discipline. I mean, these are the things that keep us going. I don't think it's a fix once and for all, and there is nothing to fix in the first place. So you're right. I agree with you.
Today, you know, our intentions are, we were talking about the joy of conscious conversations. And I have been watching your work from where I sit, being a Montessori educator and trainer and being a conscious coach, living your life with such depth and intention, and also an author in the last, I think, about a year or so. And that book is Another Parenting Perspective. Is that right? Yeah. And so I began to read it just last night. I want a hard copy, but I put it on my Kindle. And we're going to get into why that book is so powerful. And as soon as I started reading it, I thought, like, wow, such beautiful, straightforward wisdom. So often we say our transformation comes from lived experience. For the listener, this is where we're coming from. But I don't know where you want to start today. So sometimes it's, I have a directed question per se, but I guess I'll put out there, what drew you even to join me here and share this work? What's important to you?
That's such a powerful question. And really, I think the parent-child relationship is what draws me to my work, to this talk. I don't know, don't ask me why, but ever since I've been a child, I'm really drawn to children. I still don't know. My mom tells me that you were just so attracted to any child that you saw. And that was, I don't know, it's like an experience I can't tell within me. And I was drawn to it ever since, and that also led me to have my own two daughters. And of course, there may be a selfish part of it, which Dr. Shefali says, and I agree, there was a selfish part of it, but I still nevertheless enjoyed parenting them and learning from them. And I've made a lot of mistakes, which have been my great teachers. And the reason why I'm okay talking about it is it took time to heal, Maureen. It was not easy to talk about stuff that we did even in unconsciousness, but somewhere we hold guilt and we feel, oh, we have wronged in some way. And so that took me time to heal, to show myself compassion, Self-love comes in so many degrees and varieties. We think we love ourselves, but we still beat ourselves up for some small things that we do, big things that we do. So it took me time. And when I felt like self-doubt is another big thing, right? Am I saying right? Am I thinking right? The day this book, Another Parenting Perspective, published, I couldn't sleep. I was like, whoa, I can't do this. What's happening? The world is going to read my story. And it's really an honest story. You saw that my daughters have written the first thing, and they are really honest. You know, I mean, it was it. I can't say anything else.
I just to remark on the book. Yes, I think when we can own, okay, because we can look at you and say, oh gosh, she's an author. She put out a book, not without coming through what was the inner process and what was coming up for you. When I sat down to read the book, and the foreword was, I was not familiar with the word for mother. And I think, is that Amma? Is it Amma? And so I thought, like, who, like, it took me a minute to orient because I didn't have the word. But then I thought, like, oh my gosh, these are her children. This is from their perspective. And just, will you tell the audience a little bit about that? Because their perspective was of their mother changing. It was really beautiful.
So actually, like every author does, right? Once you finish the book, you want a foreword and you see who writes it. And generally, you're asking some celebrity, somebody who knows, I mean, who's known very well. And so I sat with it for a while. And this book has literally been in the making for ever since I think I was born, to be very honest. And I don't even know if another book is going to come, because I was hearing somewhere, like, until I'm so pregnant with another book, I will not say another book is coming, because right now I feel very full and complete with this book. And for it to come was instrumental. For it to come in, my children were very instrumental, because obviously I was learning from them. My students who kept taking my training, you know, used to keep asking me questions and I used to answer them, but I felt like, I can't talk with conviction. I mean, this is not necessarily true for everyone, but for me, it was somewhere like, I want to wait till my kids become adults to see really what this Montessori philosophy does. What does this spiritual path that I'm on does, you know? And then I realized that every path is going to nudge you at the edge every now and then. And I think that nudge is the growth. And that nudge makes you, keeps on making you something, something, not, and then nothing, something again, and then nothing. I don't know how to explain it, but it was a completely transformational, you know. And the icing on the cake was Dr. Shefali's course, but there was so much work underneath in the way of my spiritual life and the Montessori way of living. And like everything, it's not about just reading it, it's about embodying it in your life. And I can think I say that I tried my very best to embody the Montessori philosophy till I came into Dr. Shefali's coaching. But I realized when my children were teenagers, oh, some things were not understood in the right sense by me. And I obviously, because why? If you have a disconnect with your child, clearly there is something not going on okay, right? And my daughters, right, try to tell me, why don't you see a therapist? And no, that is something that is another big conditioned response. Why are you telling me to see a therapist? Why can't you be there for me? You know what I mean? This is all the enmeshed stuff coming up. And then when the course happened, I'm like, whoa, I see things so differently. And the best is the children see it differently, Maureen. It's not about me. It's not about anyone. This shift was for my own family. And that, the kids saw it. And they're not kids anymore. They're adults. And I'll tell you, my older daughter won't say things till she feels them. Wow. She will not say it. She'll be like, okay, let me see. Because you've said this like 100 times. I don't know what's going to happen. So for it to come out from both of them is, that was my biggest satisfaction.
It's so good. You know, when you were going through, when you said when you were living your life sort of by Montessori principles, what does that mean to you? And what are some of those guiding principles of Montessori?
The biggest thing that I saw was follow the child. That was a big thing for me. Follow the child, follow the child. And I was following the child, but I was not following myself in the bargain. that is not going to work if you don't follow yourself. So mm-hmm. I think the Montessori way gave me a kind of a good understanding about what a child is, how the child learns, I learned a lot even afterwards. I'm still learning now because they're growing up, right? But whatever I learned, and I think conscious parenting came in to show me my inner child. The outer child was what Montessori way was showing. Okay, I thought I was setting wonderful boundaries. But when I came to conscious parenting, I realized they were firewalls. I mean, they are like really stone boundaries. And the kids were suffocating in that, especially because they were not kids anymore, for crying out loud. They had already become 18 years old, 20 years old. So why is this boundary setting so strong for me? That is something that came from conscious parenting.
I love that. Yeah. And so turning that mirror towards yourself. And I agree. I think anyone in our program, and we had a big collective of women, and I think mostly women, maybe a few men, but I loved when we came together because that was the fall of 2020. And it was the most perfect time. And I feel like too, that I look at timelines and when things are introduced. And I think Dr. Shefali Sabari, if we say her last name, who has the Conscious Parenting Institute, she kind of came up like big around 2013, 14. And I find that really fascinating because I feel that some teachers emerged and blossomed at the perfect time. It's because our world was going through such transformation when you and I joined with the pandemic. But I don't know, I think for us all, I just dove into that material. And I'll tell anyone, when people talk about that training, it was so deep, it was so complex, it was very wide. But, you know, just ingesting, and you're talking about taking in that material first and becoming aware, and your eyes are wide open and you're going, whoa, you know, okay, wait, it's almost like knocks you off your balance and you have to stand up straight. And I think we were all hungry for it. And how beautiful is that? It ushered in for me just this new part of my life, that it just was this portal to explore what had never been explored. And I had done traditional therapy and some of the healing arts, but wow, it was. And I feel like when we do this work, I liked how you said in the book, you said something about it requires a constant vigilance. And why did you write that? What does that mean to you?
Self-reflection has been, and something again, and as a part of my journey from when I was very little, I don't know how it came to me, but I was always reflective. So this vigilance is a very important word, Maureen. And I feel like life is full of paradoxes, you know. Any word you take, there is both sides to it. It's never one, you know. And having the experiences that I had in childhood, whatever, I had a really loved and caring and fun childhood. But of course, like all childhoods, my parents came with their own blueprint, right? They brought it in and that impacted me, no doubt, right? And I didn't see that as it impacted me. I saw it as me being this person, like the controlling one or whatever. Vigilance was a big thing, a word, big word. So there's a vigilance where you see, where are you going misaligned from your center? When are you moving away from the present moment? That is one vigilance. But there's another hypervigilance that comes from the conditioned response. So I was taking care of both of them. While I wanted the vigilance within me to be there, I wanted this over vigilance I wanted it to feel safe and not be so over-vigilant. But that is when I discovered my own blueprint. I came into the parenting paradigm. First of all, let's talk about, even before the parenting paradigm, into the marriage paradigm.
Okay,
I came with that. Isn't it? Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, and I had an arranged marriage, so of course it comes with whatever. But I came with my baggage to it. And even though I was so self-reflective, I had a lot of baggage I came with.
Ooh, me too. Yeah. And I was, I'll say for myself is we grow up in these paradigms of comparison. And I compared my childhood to my husband's. And I felt they were very different in the fact that he went through a lot of things as a child. And I felt like, oh, whatever I went through sort of was nothing in comparison. Well, that does a number of things. Hmm. That sets it up for comparison and hierarchy and someone's needs being more than another. Mm-hmm. It totally misses the fact and compassion for Maureen at age, you know, mm-hmm. when I was in my 20s and I got married at 28, but I was creating a lot of stories. And you start off the book too about our conditioning. So when I was in my early 20s, I had no idea I was conditioned. And in fact, I think when we started our program, that was one of the things that blew me out of the water was conditioning all the ways, because our teacher talked about that a lot. Mm-hmm. So you talk about that in your book. And is that what we're saying when we're talking about these stepping into marriage or in all the baggage we bring from us?
Yes, it is definitely a conditioning that hasn't been looked like conditioning. I feel, again, this is such a, every word is like that, Maureen, in life. Like you just can't talk without the other side of it. So conditioning, yes. Of course, our human child learns through conditioning, and that's the way life goes on. There's nothing wrong with the conditioning aspect of life, but there is the a problem with when those conditions are not looked at periodically to see whether it's serving me in this moment. And when, forget about whether it's serving me, not even looking at it. It's there, like, this is the way life is. That's it. Because I just grew up this way, you know, and that makes it very difficult for other people to thrive in it. Because control and perfectionism. I was proud of my perfectionism before this. I used to say, oh, look at me. And then like the self-righteous pedestal that you put yourself on, I do things perfectly. And so everybody needs to fit my thing. And then comes the children and they are expected to fit the same perfection paradigm, right? So I think, and I'll tell you something for the listeners, this is an experience. It's been 4 years since we did this course and a lifetime of seeking that I've been doing spiritually. If you want to talk, we can talk about that later. But with all this, I've realized, Maureen, that what are we, like this perfectionism, it's rewarded in society. And where we feel that if we let go of it, we lose our specialness. We lose our greatness. But shall I tell you something? I have discovered beauty in ordinary and just ordinary. Yeah. Not that good enough, that's great, perfect, it's okay. The joy that's coming from actually doing the work is giving me more rewards than perfectionism gave me. Mm. Whether it is a parent-child relationship, whether it's the relationship with my husband, whether it's the relationship with my work, and most important, relationship with myself.
Absolutely. It was such a beautiful example. And you know, I love how you're bringing the light and the shadow sides to the words and mm-hmm. the vigilance and the conditioning. Mm-hmm. And one word that I always used to struggle with, which is sort of a different one, was accountability. Mm-hmm. And I could only see the rigidness in accountability. And I wanted to run the other direction because I thought, they're trying to make me do something that I don't want to do. And I know I have a rebel heart, so I'm going to push against that. And then I thought, like, well, what if you saw it differently as a way to kind of create a new habit for yourself? Or, but it's true. Like I could, and a lot of people, even with words that we use for higher power, you know, source, God, it's like, whoa. And I like your point, because sometimes when we have that reaction or the true reaction, there's probably something inside of us in the way we grew up or conditioning that's not allowing us to see the different sides.
100%, 100%. You will not believe it. One of the words that I really had a jumble and a kind of a wrestle with is honesty. And I am a very, 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 very honest person ever since I'm a child. But you know that honesty became a noose for me.
So you know, what did that look? Yeah, what did that look like for you?
What does it look like? It's like you're standing on this thing and then, oh, I have to be honest. It's kind of a way of being, not because you are honest that you're sharing. And then an expectation that everybody who's related to you must be honest in the way that I define honesty.
Absolutely. Okay?
And there, yeah. And there, the spiritual journey took me into the discovery of truth and absolute truth and relative truth.
Yes.
Truth has two aspects to it. Again, you see. So absolutely. This two aspects part is just bombarding me from all sides and saying and showing me that, hey, listen, we are here in the center. We move this side, we come back. We move this side, we come back. The coming back is the key.
I love that. Okay, so I want to ask, because we're here a lot to talk about parenting perspectives, and let's say someone was in their home and struggling. There could be like a few different scenarios, but it's a little bit of, even if a listener is feeling that they're already on the path, like you were saying, you know, when your girls hit their teenage years, new things came up for you. Let's say you're even in the scenario where your child is going down an unconventional path, not fitting conventions, society standards, and there's part of you that is activated by that. And you know that they're not fitting the society's expectations. You were conditioned that there should be. So where do you begin? Like with, when you see this, the beginning, and I do this work too, but I like to ask you because you're an expert in it. And so just for that example is when we see, I think for me, I think it's the awareness of, okay, I'm projecting, and you use that word projecting a lot in your book. I want you to talk about that. I'm projecting what I think this should look like on the child. And that, how does that get in the way of our connection? Can you say like just about that? That's one scenario.
Yeah. This can mean so many different things, right? Like when a child is not going down the conventional route, can mean different things for different people. And especially because your audience is mostly in the US, the meaning will be very different for my people who live in India, because our conventional ways are very different. And I am born, raised in India. You know, most all my growing years, I'm in India. I just moved to the US when my husband started working. So my conditioning is completely from the Indian culture. And yes, our children are expected to do certain things. And each of us, have a different flavor of this expectation. It's not the same. Like for somebody, it will be grades. And then I'll be like, I'm a Montessori educator and look at me, I'm so great. I don't really care if my children don't get great grades. But yeah, I have something else I care about. And that is, getting married at a particular time to a particular person in a particular way. That was something that I had to look into in my own experience, because my daughter brought a different way in front of me. And I had two choices. One thing I would say to the listener is to first figure out what is important to you. Is it being right or is it the connection with the child? For me, I was very clear it was the connection with my child. I do not expect my child to make 100% right decision, because nobody can humanly do that. And no matter what, I want to be there for my girls. So I asked permission and time to wrap my head around this new belief system that's come in, which is contradicting my old belief. And I was trying to be open, willing to be open, but I was not yet open, when it all started. But I can tell you that's the best thing I've done in my life, is to be open to this, because not only have I retained and grown a connection with my daughter, but I have found such a beautiful connection with my son-in-law. I would not have had that.
That is so beautiful.
When children go on any path, this was my experience I'm sharing. Somebody else, maybe a college, maybe a job. Maybe I don't want to study. I don't want to go to college anymore. It can be anything that comes on your plate. I don't know what's coming on whose plate, and my own plate, I don't know. But when it does come, meeting it full on with your full participation and with one intention, connection.
And then also, was there a part of you, because I remember Terry Potter, I think Terry's been on once, I'm thinking maybe twice. I think I've been trying to get her on another time, but she talked a lot when we recorded quite some time ago about the attunement and attuning energetically and drop, like before we started, we dropped into our heart space, but dropping into a different part of us where we can connect and attune to their energy and needs. how do we begin? Because I think that we so often have an agenda of what we think should happen. And in a way, I feel like for myself, it's like former Maureen. It's like, if I saw a challenge, I just wanted to move through it quickly. I wanted to tidy it up. I wanted to fix it. Now I can give things a lot of space, but having that agenda is really detrimental. And how can we take what our children might be feeling and thinking, and what mindset shift has to occur to understand that they have their own way of seeing things too?
I think that's such an important thing, right, in our work. And I know you understand that too. And it's also not an easy thing to do, because unless, like you said, dropping in, it's so simple. You know, those words of what we say and how we actually embody it are two different things, you know, and it does come through the head. So reading, learning is not a bad thing. It starts here. We need to do these things. But then that trickle down into our body, and where every cell of our body remembers this, not by, hey, I have to remember that hypervigilance of, am I doing it right? That takes away the essence of parenting. And when you don't give yourself permission to make mistakes, whatever quote unquote you would call a mistake or whatever it is, you know, if you don't give yourself permission, how can you be spontaneous? Meeting our children, attuning to our children can happen only when we attune to ourselves first. And meditation has been, is mine. And right now in this present moment, I can't talk about any future point. In this present moment, meditation is my companion. That is what grounds me. Suppose I'll tell you an example, okay? Say I'm talking to my daughters. Now, both of them are adult children. So obviously they have a mind of their own. It's their life, everything, right? But then I'm an Indian mom. So just have some compassion for me. I have some crazy beliefs and I'm a mad woman. So I have some things. So what do I do? They say something and then this doesn't even sit in my thing. So earlier it would be like argument, or not even argument. Argument is great. Like that opens up so much. But here it's like, no, you can't do this. Why are you doing this? This, I shouldn't have sent you abroad. They both live in Boston. So why the hell did I send, you know, all the stories and everything. But now, from the time I've learned to connect, and this little girl, till the little girl, little Smriti was seen and said, hey, come on here. I'm here for you. Till my wise one said that, I could not understand anybody else. I'm like, forget it. I'm not. This is the way, my way or the highway, kind of, you know. But when I started seeing her, I started seeing other people as individuals in their own right. And that means my children and my husband. My husband will be happy to hear this, because he has got some permission to be himself ever since I found myself.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean, right? I know what you mean. You see me nodding. Yes, I know what you mean. And that's that funny thing about, even I, for myself, I have not identified as a controlling person. Oh, I was laughing with my daughter the other day because I caught myself in a moment where I was trying to control my partner's behavior. And he was like, what are you, the fun police? Because I was trying to point out something he did that I said wasn't PC, politically correct. And I'm at the point where I was like, oh my gosh, he's right. And I could kind of laugh with myself. Like, look, You say you want joy, but you're walking around here like with the citation pad. I'm going to like write you up because you took one tiny wrong step. And I can look at that. I want to talk about.
That's so relatable. And I so beautifully said, Maureen, that's really true. You're just waiting to write a citation, you know, I mean, everybody in your life, because especially when we go on this conscious path, we think that we are some great conscious person. And therefore everybody in the world is doing wrong except yourself.
Oh, right. Yeah. And like you were saying, but then it's funny because in a way, yeah, you can go to your own pedestalize your spirituality, right? Yeah. And I like how you said before, it's in the ordinary. Anyone who's on a spiritual, what we call a spiritual, whatever you call it, soul path, and then you begin to understand, you think you understand the world, but then there's almost like a coming down in a beautiful way of like, oh my gosh, I'm also raising kids, I'm running a business or whatever it is. And it's just, it can be so simple, so and so profound. I don't know, that's what's coming to mind.
I feel when you say profound and the simplicity, there's one sentence that really I've been learning lately, like it's been thrown at me from the by the universe, is the sentence, I don't know. This is coming from, like, I couldn't say I don't know. I'm supposed to know everything because I'm the Montessorian, the conscious parenting coach, the mother, the whatever, the great person who's been on a spiritual path forever. So you always think that you should know. But then this I don't know, Nomori, it has actually opened up a vault of knowing.
And I resonate with that because I think, and that brings emotion up for me because I've been willing, when we see the points in our lives that are very, I used to hear people use the word sticky, and I was like, I don't really understand that, but I feel like I understand it now. Like they're the sticky places inside of us that just, they're the ones, some patterns are easier to free and other ones, and I feel like those are your true, like that's where, why we took a body. That's why we're here. The ones that are particularly dense and that stickiness. I don't know where I was going to go with that, but I just, something you reminded me is just the sticky places are where the gold lies for me. Yes. And you just mentioned when you learned to go to that inner child, the wise child, how did you begin to greet? What does that mean to you? Who is she or they, or however you think of this part of yourself? And how did relating to this part of you help you on your journey?
I mean, I wasn't aware of this at all, even though, through the path that I was on, we were not talking about the inner child. So I felt like there was a block in my thing because my psychological realm was not looked by me in a right way. So I told you, my daughter, especially my second daughter, are kind of, I wouldn't say a big disconnection, but there was a happening when she was in her teenage years. Okay. My older one is very clear about it. She is not a people pleaser. So she will not say it two ways to me. She will just say it the way it is. So it was easy with her. My second daughter wants to please me, like basically the mom pleaser. So we would have this. And then she has an inner being that wants to be herself, right? That different being. So the teenage, why in teenage this happened? When I started doing my inner child work, I realized it was the teen that was my inner child that was not feeling the seenness and the heardness and the understandingness. And she was grumpy, sitting like this. Any inner child work I do, my little one, the one that I was born, oh my God, I love her. She's so joyful. And I'm like, what happened? Like, where did this go? And then I have this five-year-old me also, who's one of the girls, like we are three of us and four of us, including me, the wise one. This five-year-old one is like always, no, I'm not going to do it. Why should I do it? Like, you know, that attitude. So I'm like, okay, what's happening here? This little one is so joyful. What happened to these two? So the inner work was that, to find where these girls were stumped and how. So it's a big process. I'll just sum it up. Is first of all, finding out where we were stumped. And then, of course, the ego is going to say, they stumped me. And of course, we're going to point a finger at the first thing, that is the parents who are coming, I mean, who are with us then. So a period of time goes when you do the blame game, the anger, and these girls are still not seen. And then I kept saying, come, come. And then slowly they started coming, like in my vision, coming close to me and putting their head on my shoulder and not really smiling, but okay, she's here and stuff like that. Then I started having this conversation of, what does this mean? Like, what is this blame game that I'm doing? And then the whole thing of how we all come with our own blueprint. And nowadays, recently, I've started having conversations with my parents who are old now. My dad is 84 and my mom is 75. And last 2 weeks back, I had the most warming conversation with them, Maureen. My father and my mother are telling me their blueprints.
Wow.
The most vulnerability of, we did not know this. When I see there are two blueprints at two opposite ends of the spectrum. One is given everything she wants before she asks. The other is not given anything even if he asks. That's these two children.
Yes.
And they are my parents.
Yeah, it's stunning.
And that came the forgiveness.
From you.
From me. And that has released these girls. I don't see them anymore in my vision. I just see a whole thing. I don't see these kids that yes. much. They seem to have integrated somehow.
Yes. And that is the alchemy and that's to me the constant vigilance. That's why we do the work. And I think with the parenting piece or even with the piece of ourselves that we see, it's still hard. Why is this keep coming up? It's keep on, anyone listening, keep on the path. You know, we're both here for you, Smriti and yes. myself, and we know other coaches. And there's nothing more beautiful than the path of just releasing, unlayering these parts of ourselves. And you just brought to mind for me is that my mom died nine years ago in July. And, you know, a lot of times I think I do a disservice. And I think, and again, like just emotion coming, I think we would have never gotten there. Mm-hmm. But by you sharing what you just shared is it's two things. Anything's possible. I think before we recorded, we said that. I think yes. it was before we recorded. And I can still do the healing work even if she's not in her physical form. We can work together. We can, you know, I can do this work myself and she can be with, because I always love that teaching is that when we do this work, we heal the generations behind and the generations forward. And it's mind blowing to me. I love it. I don't understand necessarily the ones who came before us, but I guess maybe I do that I'm saying that out loud, because is it, if we're doing the healing work and maybe it's part of them, if you believe that people come back for another lifetime, that will help do some clearing. It's probably multi-dimensional, the answer to that question, but either way, I embrace it.
Yeah. And I just want to add some things to what you just said. Yes, sometimes parents are not here physically for us to have those conversations. This is very important to include, because it's not one size, one way fits all. Healing is so different. One is that. Second, some parents, it doesn't happen. That openness is not there. So we have to acknowledge it's okay. But that does not change our healing, Maureen. That's what I want to say. Like, it's not about what you hear here today. Oh, okay, I wish my parents had that conversation with me. Well, no, there can be another path of healing for you. There's so many ways to complete. There's so many things. And yes, it's hard for people to understand when people are not alive in the physical body to understand, oh, they are with us. That's a difficult concept. It doesn't come to everyone. That's why it's very important to know that it's only about you. You do your work and everything else will take care. And intergenerational trauma is a thing. It happens. It is a thing. We need to acknowledge it. But I want to introduce a new word, which I don't know. I don't think I'm introducing. I'm sure many people have said it, but it's intergenerational healing. And that is happening. That can happen. Why? Because especially I have two daughters. I can't tell you I am experiencing the shifts that are happening in my mom because she's here. My grandma is not here, but I don't know what's happening there. But here, my daughters, and we are opening up channels for different ways of being. And as women, we have this power and, you know, it's, we call it Shakti in India. We call the female energy the Shakti, and which is there in everyone. It's just not the female body, whatever it is. But what I want to tell people is don't put a fix of my, this is one way. No, what's my way? Let me figure that out.
Beautiful. Thank you. So many blessings in that right there. You know, Smriti, as we kind of finish up our time together here today, I think a lot has been shared. I love what you just said, that what we've talked about today, they're concepts, they're ideas, they're practices. Take what is here for you, leave what is not. And we never know what we think is not may come to us later as important. But I've been asking the guests for a while as we kind of center, if there's anything that is coming to you or wants to be expressed through you as sort of a parting message for the listener to take with them that you think is important in the world right now, just anything that comes.
Yes, very clearly one message that's coming is the parental ego healing, the evolution of the parental ego, and which is what this book talks about, my book, The Parenting, or Another Parenting Perspective. We cannot shift without looking into the parental ego. So looking into that and trying to see with what clarity we have and to honor, to serve, and to be there in the wholest, deepest way we can for our children. Mm. And before that, for ourselves.
Yeah. And when I just know from my own experience too, that when we are giving the gifts to ourselves, it's truly gifts, because we're changing our generation. We're changing a lot of generational patterns, and it is vigilance. It's constancy with ourselves, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely stunning. And that is one reason why it's been a while since I've had a parenting kind of conversation around here, but we all know how important it is for this moment in time. And if we can lend anything to creating a clear consciousness for those who we are raising, like, oh my gosh, how beautiful.
Mm-hmm. How beautiful. Very, very beautiful. And, you know, the coming back, guys, don't be disappointed if you go off. You can come back.
Yeah.
And that's the practice of the muscle.
And I think you and I have also just shown of ourselves today in the parts that, like, you know, yeah, they're not Maureen with the citation pad or Smruti with the list of things you have to be. No, we're women, you know, and we're all doing it, and we're all human. So let's do it together.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true.
Well, thank you for joining Mystical Sisterhood today. It was lovely to have you here. We'll put the link to your book. I don't know if you have a website or you do social media. Where would we find you?
Yeah, I am on Instagram, Smruti Gopal, and YouTube, also Smruti Gopal. I do have a website, which I can give you the link, Maureen.
Perfect.
And the book is available on Amazon. So yeah, please do follow me on Instagram. It would be nice to have some more followers.
Exactly. Okay. Yes, that's awesome. So, okay, we will have you back, I know. And thank you for everything today. It was so fun.
Thank you. Maureen, I want to just say a really heartfelt thank you to you. Such a beautiful space. I didn't even imagine half the things I said would be coming up, but you held such a beautiful space. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. And of course, we are Mystical Sisterhood.
Right? Yes, we are. Yes, no matter where we are, I agree with you. Okay. Thanks so much. And we'll see the listener in the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my 1-on-1 coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.